It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It's California Wine Country time, and Dan Berger back with us, and we're featuring the great Bruce Cohn today and his new winery, Trestle Glen Winery. When did you start this?
Well, this is a 17 vintage. It's the first vintage.
Okay.
I sold B.R. Cohn in 15.
Right.
Took the winemaker, Tom Montgomery, with me. And we started this. Tom's been around since I planted Trestle Glen in 2000, 2005. So he knows the vineyard. He's made all the wine from this vineyard since it was planted.
And the winery is on your property still.
Yes, the backside of B.R. Cohn, where my house was, is. Kept that when I sold B.R. Cohn in 15. And it's 21 acres. And the reason for the train on the labels, because the train used to go through there in 1880. And
thus
we still have the trestles on the property.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And my street address is Trestle Glen Drive.
Trestle
Hence,
Glen?
Hence, Trestle Glen Vineyards.
Vineyards. Okay.
.com.
And are you still involved with some of the concert series that
no,
are taking place there?
No, I offered the new owners of B.R. Cohn to be involved, but they got the guys from Bottle Rock.
That's right.
To do it.
Yeah.
So I'll be doing little things at my place back
cool.
there.
You
smaller
have,
scale, but.
So you don't have use.
I still
the
got a lot of friends.
Amphitheater?
No.
No.
But I'll have my own little thing back.
Cool.
By my house.
Yeah. Sold B.R. Cohn, now Trestle Glen Winery. Dan.
Nice to see you again after all.
It's been a while.
Since all of our hiatuses.
Yeah.
Well, we had the Warriors intervene last week.
Yeah, and next week, too.
And next week as well.
Yeah. Wait till December, the first week of December. I think we're working 2 minutes the whole week.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of Warriors games on the East Coast. Okay, so you want to talk about that Viognier?
Yeah, well, since Bruce is not making any white wine just yet, so eventually we'll see some white wine coming out of Trestle Glen, but I decided that we needed to start with a white. And what better white than Viognier, which is a grape variety that a lot of people are talking about now. A lot of people are making Viognier. It's a very interesting grape. It's very floral, very flowery.
Some of it is too sweet for me. This is really good.
The secret to this one is that there's no sweetness. It's much richer in the mid palate, but the acidity is good because it's from Oregon. This is from Russell, which is spelled R-E-U-S-T-L-E. This is their estate bottling of 2018 Prayer Rock Vineyards. It's a really wonderful property. It's in an area not far from Roseburg, Oregon. It's actually about 8 hours drive from here. We've made the drive in a day, and it's wonderful to visit those people. They're really great. Stephen and Gloria Russell make fabulous wine. Everything they make is excellent. But this one is about as good as it gets. I think this is one of the best Viogniers in the United States. I don't think you can touch this in terms of overall quality of flavors.
What year is that?
2018. It's brand new. It's fresh as a daisy. And it's not really intended to be aged for a long period of time. I would say if you drink this now within the next year or two, you'd just love this. It's really beautiful wine. And his prices are fair. This is around $30. And with a few discounts here and there, you can find it for closer to 25. It's a fabulous wine. It's just wonderful. Really pleased we should start the day with this.
Delicious. Yeah,
and really Bruce, Trestle Glen is making only reds, as
Dan mentioned,
but that's going to change.
The microclimate there is only good for Cabin Zin. It's very hot. We're about 7 degrees warmer at Trestle and B.R. Cohn than the rest of the valley. And we ripen about 2 weeks earlier on the cabs and the Zins.
But you mentioned Chardonnay, maybe?
Well, I made, San Giacomo, Angelo. I used to get Chard from Angelo every year, and we made it.
That's right.
And
yeah.
It's delicious. So we'll be making a Chard, but I won't be growing it.
Right. Gotcha.
Because it's too hot. I did that. August Sebastiani made me plant 12 acres of Chard in the 70s because no one was buying red wine. But we could take the paint off your car with that stuff. Helen Turley made it. But I tell you, it was so acidic, I couldn't even sell it.
Wow.
Well, there was Pinot Noir on your property for a while there.
Yeah, and I had to pull that out, too, because That would take the paint off your car, too.
Well, the thing about that area is really interesting. At the very beginning, when I first got to know Bruce a long time ago, he was talking about that being a banana belt. And that was the phrase you used.
Well, that's what the guy told me when I bought it.
I said,
is that something you wear around your waist?
It'd get a little messy, but, you know.
Yeah.
So this first one is a 17 Cabernet, and it's from, it says Sonoma Valley, but it really shows a little bit of that cool climate influence, some of the cool breezes coming up from Bennett Valley. Because you do have some dried herbs in here, along with the black cherry and the cassis. Really gorgeous wine.
It's very drinkable, very fruit forward and soft tannins.
Is this a 17, you said?
17, but all the restaurants are doing great with it. We're Joe LaCoco's in Railroad Square.
Best Italian restaurant.
He's ordered
the
3 times in 6 weeks from
me. Really?
Yeah, he's blowing through it by the glass. This is at Creekside. And that's my only account in Santa Rosa right now. We're working on some more.
You should get in Bottle Barn.
Oh, well, I don't have enough for those guys.
Yeah, right.
I've only making 600 cases.
Tell us
total.
About your winemaker, Tom. He's a hell of a guy.
Tom started with me in early 2000s, and he's a Fresno State grad. He came from Conn Creek, Villa Mount Eden. Later on, he did BR Cohn from about 03 to 15 when I sold.
Uh-huh.
Now he's made, but he was there when I planted Trestle Glen. Because I bought that in 96. I planted it in 98 and 99 and 2005. And so he's the only one that's ever made wine from this vineyard. And so he knows it inside and out. But he's a great guy. He's teaching at Fresno State winemaking right now.
Oh, really?
And
he's doing my wine
and Hemingway family. He's making wine for them.
Introduce our other guest. I'm sorry.
It's Paris Gordon. She's my lady from long time ago.
Paris
27
Gordon.
Years. Yeah.
Now that is a cool name. Mike, make a note. I'm going to change my air name to Paris
Gordon.
She's
a fashion designer from New York. She has a clothing line for women. Yeah.
Great to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Are you involved in the winery at all, or are you just
she's helping
out?
Me. No, she's a big help. Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
I'm assisting a little bit with this marketing.
Yeah.
Talk about Bruce Cohn in the wine world. It started in the 70s?
74, I bought what I called Olive Hill because of the olive trees that were there.
Right. Are they still making olive oil?
Yeah, they still make it. It's still top. You know, that's Picholine olives out there. They're 140-year-old trees now.
It's great olive oil.
Really great.
And I'm Italian. So.
Yeah, it's a showstopper. But, the old guy I bought it from, he didn't make anything. He just used them for shade.
Yeah, they were grown for shade, and unfortunately, that's the worst kind of place to try to harvest because you got to get.
I had to cut them over the years. We cut them down lower and lower and lower. Now they're in a place where you can harvest them, but we used to use cranes to harvest them.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Jeez.
But it's 74. I just bought the place when I came off tours with the bands to rejuvenate myself because I was on the road 200 days a year and.
Yeah.
I had no idea I was going to be making wine or growing grapes, but there were 14. There were 7 acres of Pinot and 7 acres of Cab planted when I bought it, and they were in terrible shape. And I bought the books on viticulture from Winkler's, and I'm riding around with the bands flying around reading viticulture books. And they're going, what are you doing reading viticulture books? You're managing rock and roll bands. I said, well, I have a vineyard I bought, and it doesn't look like these pictures. I've got to figure out what's wrong. So Charlie Wagner at Camus became my mentor.
What was your first vintage?
1984. I grew
84.
Grapes
okay.
for 10 years, sold them to Ravenswood, Kenwood, Gunlock Bunchu, Sebastiani. August was my first buyer, and he threw it in with all the Lodi stuff, and so Charlie took my grapes and made it in 78, made Camus 78 Olive Hill. He told me I had the best cab he'd ever had from Sonoma, and I got to get my name on a label, is what he said.
Right on.
Took me 6 years to do it, but I did it.
B.R. Cohn, of course, sold in 15.
Sold in 15. We were in 46 states. I was doing 85,000 cases a year.
Jeez. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a grind. Now, this is easy. this is fun.
Yeah, as long as you don't have to worry about making money about it.
That's right. If you have to make money, it's...
You have to have a lot of money to start it, and then you have to worry about how much you're going to lose before you get profitable.
Tell me your thoughts on this.
Well, first of all, you have to appreciate the fact that Cabernet is two different things these days, all right? Number one, it's Napa, and number two, it's everything else. So, and Napa does Cabernet in a way that very few people can because they've got a particularly unique area to grow in. It's like slightly warmer sub-districts that are really, really fascinating and very distinctive. I love all the sub-districts. I wish they were more distinctive. Sonoma County has always made really good Cabernet, but never has gotten the recognition for it. And the reason for part of that is that the sub-districts don't ever get their full shake. You won't see much Cabernet planted in Russian River anymore because people put all their effort now into Pinot Noir, Russian River. You want some of this one here.
Poor Dan.
And now you got all these other sub-regions. Alexander Valley is still very heavily influenced by...
Alexander Valley, would you consider that the best cab producer in the county?
It's the largest. I would say the best areas... I still think one of the best areas for Cabernet in this county is Dry Creek, surprisingly, but it doesn't anywhere near get its recognition. So you have all these other areas that are sort of sub-districts. Chalk Hill's really good for Cabernet. We've got great opportunities to grow Cabernet in other sub-districts such as Sonoma Valley. You're not going to see any in the Sonoma Coast. It's too cool. So a lot of it comes down to what style is making the most impact in the marketplace. And the style that makes the most impact right now is Alexander Valley. And that's a broader style of wine. It's richer. It's a little bit more supple. Sonoma Valley is a little bit more structured. And I really love what Sonoma Valley Cabernet does. Look, you go back to those earlier days with the Kenwood and the Kenwood Artist Series. Right. Those wines were terrific. And they were really under the radar. And what you fought all
some of that
years,
was Olive Hill grapes.
Well,
I sold to them.
And that's true. And yeah. The Olive Hill grapes really were distinctive. The problem was that nobody noticed the differences with these subregions.
Right.
And these subregions never had the calling card that they deserved. So here you have Sonoma Valley on the label, and that's what you're getting. You're getting Sonoma Valley flavors.
What's unique about Trestle Glen, where I live, and behind B.R. Cohn, is that it's warmer for a reason. The valley narrows right there. It's like a Venturi, and the
yeah.
air is always moving. So we have not had a frost in the growing season in 75 years there because of this moving air. And then we found out, when I went to put drip system on these dry farm vines when I moved there, that when I put my hand in the well, we had hot water coming up from the geysers in the floor of Sonoma Valley.
Really?
Right at my property.
No kidding.
So it warms the soil underneath because of the hot water, and that gives me an earlier bud break, at least 2 weeks earlier than the rest of the valley. And my vines are green now when all the rest are brown because they're still warm.
And it's coming all the way from the geysers.
It comes all the way in an aquifer from the geysers
and
geysers up there in the mountains. It comes up in the valley.
The only way to lose that temperature is if the water's surface water. It's not. It's underground water.
Right.
It comes from deep and comes straight up. It's an artesian well right in the front of the property there, and it warms that whole area.
I had no idea. That's
now,
very cool.
Very unique.
I was a skeptic when I went on the website about 2 weeks ago before Bruce and I got together about this project. Went on the website and looked at these two wines. Just looking at them on the site, I thought to myself, oh, I'm going to really like the Hillside better. I'm going to like the Hillside better. I'm going to say that Hillside is going to be, you know, whatever. I think the Creekside may be more interesting wine in a certain way.
It's definitely fuller up. Fruitier,
I
think.
It's Creeks. They're two radically different wines.
And they're right next to each other. Just a different elevation and different soil depth makes the difference. The clones are 15 and 337, you know, the French clones.
Right.
But it's the difference in the soil and the elevation that makes the difference. And they're, you know, they're 100 feet away from each other.
Well,
but see the difference.
I think Creekside has a little bit more of that herbal component.
It does.
And I really like that.
You got that.
And I think that that's going to set these wines apart. Now, you could easily see how people can appreciate one and then how other people can appreciate the other. There'll be a debate.
There's a split. Some people love the hillside and
right.
some love the creekside. And it's every time I sell it to people, they're split.
Well, they're different wines. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
And that's not a surprise to me because hillside vines always react differently to different vintages, and so do flatland vineyards. And, in fact, it's really interesting to think about. One of your mentors was Camus Vineyards, and everything they got growing there is flatland.
Flatland.
But it's Rutherford.
Yeah, Screaming and, Eagles flatland.
Yeah.
And look what they get for their wine.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It doesn't have to be hillside to be good. It just has to be right, you know, the right spot.
Well, Tom did a great job on both of these wines because there's a nice structure in both.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
How many cases is Dressel Glen doing?
230 of the hillside and 280 of the creekside this year. I sold half the grapes to B.R. Cohn in 17 and 18.
Okay.
I have 800 cases of 18. 19, I'm making all of it from my property, so I'll have 1,500 cases in 2 years, and
okay.
that'll be where we really can distribute it. Right now, getting it online is the best way, Dressel Glen. Or so, there's several restaurants. Salt and Stone has it in Kenwood. Sonoma Bistro.
You mentioned Joe LaCoco's.
Joe LaCoco's got it in Santa Rosa. I'm working on some others in Santa Rosa, and I'll, you know, it'll be on the website.
Bruce Cohn is with us, formerly a B.R. Cohn, now with he's making wine again, Dressel Glen Winery. Give us Tom's history and how he got into the winemaking world.
Well, Tom was a Fresno State graduate.
And he's teaching there now?
He's teaching there now.
Gotcha, okay.
But he went full circle, still making wine. He was at Vinecliff last in Napa. And then went to teach after that. He was at Con Creek, Villa Mount Eden in the old days before I hired him. And, you know, Mary Edwards preceded him and Helen Turley preceded her at my place.
Some big
so
names.
He had some big shoes to fill, and, but he did it. You know, the vineyards, you know, if you don't have great grapes, you can't make great wine. And so it all starts in the vineyard. And, you know, Helen put her on the map. That was her first winemaking job was at B.R. Cohn. And Mary was a seasoned winemaker when I hired her, of course. And she made the first special selection at B.R. Cohn. We got a 95 rating on that. You know, Napa makes great wine. It takes longer to age. I think the tannins are a little harsher in Napa, not as accessible. But I've been getting mid-90s ratings pretty much straight through since my 45 years doing this because of the vineyard and the winemakers being good, of course.
Yeah. Mary Edwards, yeah.
Yeah,
she
did all the 90s.
Some fabulous.
Helen did the 80s. Mary did the 90s and Tom's 2000s.
Yeah.
We had Bill Parker for a while. Mike Guyash from Jordan made a couple years for me.
John Speed.
John Speed from, he came from St. Francis.
That's right.
John was a nice guy, but a train wreck. He didn't top the barrels for a whole year once. We had VA through the roof. That's how I got Silver Labeled. B.R. Cohn started. I had a whole vintage of Olive Hill Cab I couldn't use, so we put it through RO and sold it half price.
There you go.
And Silver Label became 55,000 cases.
Oh my God.
From 2,500.
It's called serendipity.
Yeah, it was a mistake that landed on his feet.
California Wine Country with Dan Berger today. Bruce Cohn is in Dressel Glen Winery. It's Dressel Glen
Vineyards.com.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Go to the website and order it up, because there's not much there, and it's not going to be around too long. We just got some high ratings from our friend Andy Blue.
California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. And by the way, Barry Herbst, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn, just texted me saying, tell Bruce we are definitely buying when that 2019 vintage comes out.
Okay. I'll come and see him now.
Yeah,
I can give him a little bit. We'll wet his whistle.
He'd love it.
I'll come over there and see him. I buy all my bourbon there. I like Basil Hayden. They got the best price on Basil.
Yeah, they got the best price on
best price on everything. Yeah.
Everything.
But I'm over there a lot, so I'll go see him.
Yeah, cool.
California Wine Country is brought to you in part by Sonoma Stainless, your local custom fabrication shop for winery equipment and tanks. Info online at sonomastainless.com.
It's California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Dan Berger, of course, and today Bruce Cohn, formerly of B.R. Cohn, now has Trestle Glen Winery. How many wines are you making? Three?
Just the two cabs.
Just the two
we
cabs.
We have a Zin now. I was selling the Zin to B.R. Cohn. But now, this 19 vintage, we're making the Zin, and it's a really good Zin there.
Cool.
Very good.
Barry will want to buy that, too.
Yeah,
Sonoma
it's great.
Valley is really underrated. Part of the problem is...
Yeah, why is that?
Well, I think most people don't look at sub-Appalachians as market-driven flavor profiles. They just don't see that. They say Sonoma County, that's enough for them. They should be looking more at the sub-Appalachians. This is really...
Sonoma, you meant Sonoma Valley, not...
Sonoma Valley.
You said Sonoma County, but...
No, Sonoma Valley is...
That's a micro...
...is really a fabulous area, and there's a great... there's all kinds of wonderful sub-regions in there that are...
Sub-microclimates, too.
Yeah, a little sub-microclimates. Really? You can actually... They're making some Pinot Noir in the Sonoma Mountain area, of all places. In Sonoma Mountain, you would normally say... Well, that's going to be warm enough to ripen Cabernet because there's Laurel Glen is up there. And certainly Laurel Glen makes fabulous Cabernet. But right around the corner, there's a couple of properties that are still growing Pinot Noir up there because of the cool winds that are coming up from the Petaluma Gap. So that area is cool enough to ripen Pinot as well.
Not to mention the hot water coming from the geysers. That blows me away.
That's
I don't know.
That one area... There's about a mile radius around my property. Sonoma Mission Inn has that water.
Oh.
From Sonoma Mission Inn to about B.R. Cohn is where that microclimate is.
And it's constant?
It's a hot water. Yeah, constant.
The water's constant.
Hot water, yeah.
That's amazing. Tom Montgomery is the winemaker. He was at B.R. Cohn, and he now is at Trestle Glen Winery. First vintage they're tasting today is 2017, and you'll find the 2019 when it's released at fine restaurants in Bottle Barn.
Yeah, we've got all the restaurants in Sonoma pouring it.
Yeah, I bet.
But Santa Rosa I'm working on, they're a little tougher. But I'm working on the Bird in the Bottle,
yeah.
Monty's.
And, Starks, stuff.
Yeah, those kind of places.
Terry and Mark.
It's restaurant
it's
wine.
It's me, Steve.
It's restaurant wine.
Get this wine at your places there.
They've been tough on me, Starks.
Really?
Yeah. And they had B.R. Cohn for years, but...
Mark, Terry, it's me, Steve. You need to get Bruce's wine at your restaurant.
Yeah, I've been calling.
Bird in the Bottle is a fascinating restaurant.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I like that.
So, the 2019.
Great vintage. I'm just thrilled.
When the hell would that be coming out?
At least two more years.
2 years, yeah.
I aged the stuff 20 months to 24 months on French oak.
Wow.
So, you know, you got to wait and be patient to get great wine. And but I'll tell you. I think the 19 vintage is one of the best I've had in years.
We've been talking about that recently, and
you're not
alone in that.
We've had a lot of good vintages in a row here. I mean, 14.
Four in a row so far.
Well, four in a row, but 14 was pretty good, too. So, you know, you got all those, and you got 15, which was pretty good sized, and then you had all these other. 16 was surprising. 17.
France, eat your heart out.
Yeah, right, yeah. Well, I mean, global climate change has changed a lot. Yeah. For the growers. The growers have to do a lot more to manicure their vineyards because you can't just let the riper... I mean, it used to be said that every year was a vintage year in California because of the sun. Now we got too much sun.
Yeah.
Watch for it. So planting a little bit more with an eye toward canopy management and getting a little bit more shade on your grapefruit.
We're not pulling as many leaves as we used to.
Right. You can't pull those two leaves too soon because you start to – all you're doing then is
– French fry them.
Yeah, right. You get a – all you're doing is having a solar array out there producing sugar.
So we need more rain.
We need a little rain. Yeah. We need a little bit more shade. And then we need some people with a little bit more courage to say, okay, we can cut back on the tonnage we're getting and say – now, Cabernet in the Napa Valley may be over-thinned, that is to say. That is to say, there may be too little fruit on the vine in Napa. I think maybe some
are they dropping fruit or are they just
some
pruning?
People are dropping fruit down to 3 tons or 2.5 tons an acre. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, are you just throwing fruit away?
Maybe. Well, they get $8,000 a ton, so I guess they can do it.
Yeah, except when the bulk price for Cabernet Sauvignon drops the way it is.
They can't. Yeah, they can't. No. Yeah. But we're doing 4 tons of the acre mostly at BR Cone, and we did for years.
And how many acres again?
Well, I have 21 acres, but only eight planted. This is a very small production.
Yeah.
There's, 1 acre of Zin and 7 acres of Cab. That's it.
Okay. And I've been saying Tressel Glen Winery. It's TresselGlenVineyards.com.
Right.
And...
go to the website. There's a lot of good stuff on there. And check it out.
Yeah, that's very cool, man.
And we'll do some music next year at the wine. We're going to have a grand opening next year.
Good.
So I didn't have all my permits in place for that this year.
He's starting with an accordion.
Yeah, and a violin.
And a little piece of rug.
I had Pablo Cruz and Huey Lewis coming this year, but I had to cancel.
Oh, that's too bad.
Because... of the permit thing, so next year I'll get it done.
It starts out with Lady of Spain.
Smaller, though. Not 3,000 people. It'll be like 500.
Okay.
Well, what you did at BR Cone in so many ways.
Well, we raised $7 million for charity.
$7 million for charity at the...
local charities.
And building that amphitheater?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I've been there many times. And
the Redwood Empire Food Bank we gave a lot of money to. And Mentoring Alliance and... all kinds of children's charities. $3 million went to the vets.
Nice.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad that you're doing this.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be back at it.
Because when you sold BR Cone, I went, oh, man.
I know.
It's probably not going to be as good.
It's not, but we're here. We're going to take up the slack at Trestle Glen.
I'd be going back to milking goats.
Yeah. My hands aren't as strong as they used to be. We used to do 115 twice a day, you know.
I remember. You told me the story.
In Forestville. Yeah, that's how I grew up.
Milking goats.
And making feta goat's cheese that nobody knew what it was.
You grew up in Forestville.
I grew up in Forestville.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Martinelli Road with the Martinellis.
Right on.
Yeah.
Was that sort of how your interest in wine came about, just growing up there?
No, agriculture, yes.
Yeah.
But not wine-specific, nothing until I bought what I call Olive Hill.
Right.
Did I start to have to learn about vineyard. I picked grapes as a kid for the Martinellis.
Oh,
and
you did.
Walnuts and prunes for 25 cents a lug box. But at 100 degrees.
That's what Mike
on your hands and knees. But, but it was not, we played in the old Redwood fermenters that were 30,000 gallons at the old Martinelli Winery.
But cool.
That was the extent of my wine business in that day.
Your family was not
my dad and mom
business?
Didn't even drink.
Really?
My dad had 3 martinis once. We had to carry him out of the restaurant.
That's great.
It's true. He sang Italian arias. My dad was a tenor. He was Juilliard School trained. And my mom sang with Frank Sinatra. That's how I got in the music business.
Wow.
It was through my folks being serious musicians that started a goat dairy.
Wow.
We were different. We were called the Crazy Cones from Chicago. We went from Chicago to Forestville.
And you have managed a
lot of bands.
A lot of bands, yeah.
Night Rangers from Santa Rosa. I managed them for their career, and they did really well. And Bruce Hornsby in the Range.
Love Bruce.
Ambrosia. Highway 101, a country band.
Yeah.
That's where I met Paris, was in Nashville. I had an office there for a while.
Met Paris in Nashville. Did you get that, Mike?
Yeah. Paris in Nashville.
Paris Gordon.
Yeah.
The coolest name we've had in the studio in a long time.
She's great. She's great.
And you live in New York and you're visiting?
I'm living here now.
Oh, you are? Cool.
She moved in.
All right, there you go.
Known her for 27 years.
Nice. Well.
He got his assistant back.
It's very cool.
Yeah, it's good. It's a
first
good
vintage is this 17 and.
18 and then the 19.
Yeah. And the 19 is going to be strictly. Explain that again.
The 19 will be the two cabs and a Zin.
Right.
The 18s are just 18 and 17 are just,
two cabs. Yeah. Okay.
How did the 18 vintage treat you?
It's okay. I think, you know, it's going to be good. I'm not sure it's as good as 17 or 19. I'm not. The jury's still out on it. We'll see. It depends on how it finishes up. Tom has to do his magic, you know.
Winemakers who have a long history with the same fruit often do better from year to year because they can roll with the punch that Mother Nature gave them in a tough vintage. We've seen that over and over and over again. The more times that we see a winemaker that's brand new with a tough vintage, they
don't know how to deal with it.
This is a lot easier for a...
Well, Tom really knows this. I mean, he was there when I planted it, so he's the only one that's ever made wine from it.
Yeah. Are you hip to the beverage people in Santa Rosa?
No.
Oh, man. Since 1980, they have been Sonoma County's fermentation headquarters. They say it's time to start getting your home-brewed beers ready for the holidays, for gifts, and you can make those strong ales to get you through the winter. The beverage people, they can help you craft your next beer masterpiece or wine. They teach you to make cheese, cure olives, make mead. They do it all if it has to do with fermentation. It's the beverage people. Dan Berger with California Wine Country, of course, brought to you by Bottle Barn, featuring Bruce Cohn today. You know him from B.R. Cohn Winery all those years and the olive oil and the concerts, and now he's got Trestle Glen Winery making two cabs right now, a Zin coming out along with the cabs in 2019 or the 2019 vintage. And we're also very glad that you're doing wine again.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be back at it. It was cool, getting a little boring sitting around watching the grapes grow and selling them, you know. So I'm back at it.
I think the best part about it is that the Cabernet is as good as anything you've done with B.R. Cohn. There were some vintages at B.R. Cohn that were really, really good. But I think what you've done right now is equal to the best you've done.
Well, they're smaller batches. It's easier to make. Tom had 19 wines to make at B.R. Cohn.
Jeez.
He's got one wine to make at Trestle Glen. So it's
soon to be two, and then maybe
soon
three.
To be two. But you know, it's a lot easier than making 19 different wines.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
And these are available at the website, TrestleGlenVineyards.com, and at some of our finer restaurants in the area here.
Thank you very much.
And then the 2019 vintage will be available at Bottle Barn.
Well, hopefully sooner. I'm going to go see him.
Yeah, go see Barry.
I'll get him a couple cases.
Oh, cool. He'd love that.
Yeah. We'll start him off anyway.
Right on.
I think what I'm really hoping for this this winter is that people will begin to look a little bit more at some of the most unusual grapes that we have growing in this county, looking for Riesling, Pinot Blanc, Gruner Veltliner, some of these grape varieties that nobody ever cares about. This is really where the market is moving, and the millennial buyer seems to be really interested in that.
That's great. And smaller vineyards, too, I hear. They're getting away from the corporate deal and going more. Yeah. That's what we're hoping for Trestle Glen. They'll come visit me instead of the big guys.
Yeah. No.
Because they like the small.
And they should, and stuff. And that's a good thing to see that happening.
Yeah.
You know?
It's going full circle, I think.
You sold B.R. Cohn to the people that have 21 wineries?
Yeah. Yeah, they're busy boys over there, I'll tell you. One was a headache. 20, I can't even imagine. Give them a lot of credit for being able to handle all that. It's
exactly.
A lot of work.
No kidding.
And they're in three states, too, or more.
Really?
Yeah, they're in Washington, Oregon, and California.
What's the name again?
Vintage
Estates.
Yeah,
okay.
They're good operators. They have Cundy and Fianza, B.R. Cohn, and Swanson. And
Trestle Glen, one N, TrestleGlenVineyards.com.
The train's on the label. It's a wine train. It's got barrels on the wine cars.
Our L.A. guy who works for my company, Christopher DiMatteo, saying, any Verdicchio in California?
I think there is a very small Verdicchio vineyard in Sonoma County, but I can't recall who's got it. We have a little Vermentino growing in Sonoma County in the Carneros, and Vermentino is a very interesting grape. I love the variety. Christopher and I have to chat about this.
He's listening in L.A., so.
I'm ready.
No problem.
Okay.
And that reminds me, California Wine Country is also a podcast offered where every fine podcast is available. You can also go to calwinecountry.com. So if you missed one or you're in your car listening and going, wow, what was that wine they were talking about 3 weeks ago? Well, just go to calwinecountry.com and check out the podcast. Bruce, thanks, man. We'll see you soon.
Good to see you guys.
Have a great night.